So this morning, I feel like as we go before the Lord, I just want you to enjoy and absorb, but be a point of contact for your family. I feel God wants to do some things, miracles for family members that are not here. But I started seeing things happening for some of your children, your relatives here this morning. Anyway, I wanted to release that. So be in active faith. I often say, when we come together, and it is important, you know, as we obey the Lord, and it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. And regularly, each of us need to be there on a committed basis. If we are not working on the road, we need to be where God's community of people are coming together, worshiping, and something will happen for you. I'm kind of jumping ahead. I did want to say it's a joy for me to be with Bill and Sue Hart, and I so honor this ministry and the apostolic call that this church has, and what Papa Bill, I'm not going to call him Papa, but anyway, but those who are younger can, but no, he is an apostolic father, and under this covering, a lot of blessing comes, and I bless you, and I bless the community here. We have been in relationship I've been coming here for nearly, we used to call it the anniversary celebration. I don't know what happened with that, but I can call it your anniversary celebration. I was invited somewhere else this weekend, and I said, no way. I am at Cathedral of Praise for their anniversary celebration. So we... So in fact, I sent Bonnie to them. But 28 years, you guys have been investing in blessing us, loving us, and investing financially also, that we have gone so many nations, from many nations in Africa, but the Lord opened the doors for us to minister to prime ministers and generals. And we have gone to Egypt, to Jamaica, Norway, France, Latin America, Brazil, Chile, all over. I mean, I've lost count. We are just coming back from Europe, from Belgium. And there was a major... The world, for all Europe, full gospel businessmen's convention. And there, it's like 40 years ago here, by the full gospel businessmen. They're on fire. They're hungry. And we had many nations represented there. But the terrorist attack in Paris took place. We were just an hour and a half away, and many pastors from France were there. And then as we left Brussels Airport, they shut it down a few hours afterwards as we flew to Germany, to Stuttgart, for another outreach meeting in Stuttgart, and now flying back. By the way, Dale, for you and Jean, the Lord, there are certain doors in some nations that you have not been in, that God, you're going to get invitations this coming year and the coming days. Yes. I want Jean to be prepared to allow you, or go with you if she needs to supervise you. Often Bonnie goes to supervise. But I see God, certain doors, even strategic, you carry the apostolic prophetic, and there is a new generation of the prophetic that God wants to raise in key nations. Some of the regions of Europe there are some major places that you are going to step into where you'll find the waters. I mean, the chapters, there are major fun chapters of your life still to be rewritten. And I saw for you that these are specific doors that I started seeing the invitations already that are happening in the glory for you. So keep in good shape and be ready because those doors are opening. And I think you were right, Bill, in the area of your apostolic grace for Korea and other places. And it's the small that leads to the great.
Yes.
You may think they're small, but they are not. They're going to be major, wonderful, God's breakthroughs for these places. I love Korea. It was wonderful to see my Korean friends here. I've gone to Korea several times. They are a unique nation. They are like Israel in the Middle East. They are an island of great grace that God has given. But I want you to know that Koreans love and honor Americans and America. And when they start talking about, when the Koreans start talking about America, you'll find some of the elders, the older people will start weeping when they talk about America, because for more than 1,000 years, Korea is a small nation. And it's been bullied and oppressed by a lot of the bigger nations for hundreds of years. If it was not some kind of shogun from Japan, it was some kind of emperor in China who would come and conquer them and try to really oppress it so much that they would often be in starvation mode. And what some of the elders said, for many years, when we got the phone system, we would greet them. Instead of you in America say hello, we in Korean have a phrase that basically means, have you had breakfast? And that's a strange greeting. You know, you pick up the phone, and say, that's the hello, have you had breakfast? But it was because of centuries of such oppression that they could, if they could have enough food to eat one meal a day, it was so wonderful. And it was not until American soldiers came during the time of the Korean War and brought freedom and liberty to Korea. And even today, we have a base that protects the Korean people. And they owe such a debt of thankfulness and gratitude towards Americans. And we take some of these things for granted. But there were thousands of young Americans who laid down their lives for Korea to be free.
Right, come on.
And then the missionaries came and they just simply just proclaimed the gospel. But the Koreans were so hungry that in those next few years, it has become basically a Christian nation.
Hallelujah.
It was not that, but it was. Therefore, these are some of my introduction things that I'm just thinking about as Bill was sharing. As on the first days I told you about the prophetic vision of the God's eagle army rising, I started December 24 last year when But after the vision, I turned on the TV and saw the king and queen of Belgium, King Philip and Queen Matilda, throwing out nuts in the blizzard. And it was in commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, where thousands of young Americans laid down their lives to have Europe be free from Nazi oppression. And in a matter of a week or so, 20,000 young Americans laid down their lives so these people would be set free. But it was there, December 24, where God gave the breakthrough, where after so many days of storm, Patton told his entire army, pray for good weather so we can rescue General Anthony McAuliffe, who would not surrender, and said to the German general and the army as they were surrounded, they said, nuts. Americans do not surrender. Americans do not back down. We will not surrender the city of Bastogne. And then God gave a miracle. And thousands of planes flew finally to rescue the U.S. Army at the Battle of the Bulge. So these are significant things that I just want you to remember and recall, that your grandparents and some of your fathers were there, part of this time of history. And like whether we think of Europe, where I've been just coming fresh with my ears still blocked up from the airplane ride, to Korea, it is across the nations. Millions and millions of people are free and are able to have food and are able to live in freedom and worship like they were ordained to because of America. So this morning I want to say, God bless America. And there is no reason, and I don't know what kind of infection has come in, of political correctness and apologizing for America, that it compared to all these nations, it is the nation that has set free millions and millions of people and has done it without any kind of reward. They did it because they love freedom. And by the way, they were able to make way for the gospel to come afresh to these nations. Yes. So, praise the Lord. So this is the time that I would echo the word of General Anthony McAuliffe at this time, that said to all the dark forces with their, told them, surrender, back off, and we are going to conquer you. And he said, nuts to you. America does not surrender. And I want to just recall and just reaffirm to you what your grandfathers and grandmothers, if they were lived a generation that loved freedom and were willing to lay down their lives. And God wants to bring that spirit. At this time, we are in a season, whether we like it or not, that the powers of darkness, of extremist Islamic radicalism has declared war on the nations, and the war on people who they call infidels. And it is a spiritual war more than it is a political war. Yeah. And it is, they're saying, they are, whatever their philosophy is the thing that is going to rule. We are all going to bow down to Sharia and to their philosophies. And I want to declare to them, and the church needs to get united. Yeah. And the believers of this nation need to get united and said, our Lord is Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory. And every knee bows and every tongue confesses, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we will not bow our knee to any other spirit of Antichrist, any power of darkness. So the Lord, in that context, then the spirit Welcome the spirit of revival. Here, once again, I want to add my voice to other voices saying, revival is at hand. And God is once again sweeping across America and Europe and reviving those nations and reviving our Judeo-Christian foundation. And we need to, in this time frame then, be wise, be led by the Spirit of God, and realize that these demonic spiritual forces not only want to capture us, but more than that, they want to captivate and capture our children and brainwash them in their ungodly dark spirits. And that part of it is the political correctness. But you won't define if, you know, a man can be defined as a woman. A woman, and I never thought that. I said, a woman is a woman. And said, no, no, no. See, I put lipstick on. I'm a woman. No, whatever. I don't want to be intolerant, you know. See, I mean, we get so... we have been bullied.
That's
right. So, okay, well, you're a woman. You know, 40 years ago, the doctor, when your mommy gave you birth, he said, it's a boy. But if you say it's a girl, it's a girl. You can use the women's bathroom. I'd say, oy vey. All right. I feel free here. Texas, you feel free. You know, I got a little hyper this last 2 years, somewhat. You know, they may be recording me. My name maybe get on a little list there. I said, nuts to you. We are not going to back down. Jesus is Lord. So, hallelujah. Amen. Does it make sense?
Yes.
That I really believe. I mean, it's not a fun thing. Anyway, here I will share. I'm an ordained Southern Baptist minister, so I got to give you some scripture. One is Mark 16. The primary one. Let me read you the basic text I'm going to emphasize this morning. And, you know, I forgot to wear my watch of all things. It's in my hotel room. All right. Hebrews 3. Verse 1. And 2a. Therefore, holy brethren. And so he's speaking to the whole church. He's speaking therefore to you and me, partakers of the heavenly calling. So immediately, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a calling of God. And it's a heavenly calling. The Lord, the King of glory, has put a calling on each and every life. It does not mean, oh well, gosh, that means God wants me to quit being a teacher, quit being a housewife, or quit doing this and go on the mission. No, but it's each of you fit in a gorgeous, wonderful way in God's family, and you are all supposed to bring your strength, bring your gifting in the community of God, in the purposes of God. And people ask me, what is the will of God? And this is where we begin. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So it says, focus on Jesus, who is the apostle and high priest of our confession. As we confess, Jesus is Lord, and I belong to God's Father. I am saved through the blood of Jesus. I believe the cross of Calvary has set me free from the powers of darkness. I am no longer serving the kingdom of darkness. I am serving the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord and He's my leader. So we focus on Him, the apostle and high priest. Say apostle.
Apostle.
High priest.
High priest.
Of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him. That is, He was faithful to God the Father. So, faithful. Say faithful.
Faithful.
And that's the simplicity of what God is telling each of us, that be faithful to your heavenly calling. There is a way in which the things that are around you, even this morning, I began with just giving an example of Bonnie is in Redding, California. I am in Charlotte, North Carolina, and yet, as she phones me, I could see in the Holy Spirit the place where she was. I could even see the lady in the blue desk, and she owned horses. She was a horsewoman, and now she had to almost be in a place where she had to sell her horses because of that cancer, and then God healed her completely. Because God sees everything, and from time to time, He will let His servants see some of those things in the heavenlies. So, all of these, of course, by the way, I don't have to say it, but they're all documented. We have all their testimonies, everything, whatever I share. Okay, so, Jesus, the apostle and high priest. Then, one of my favorite scriptures this last couple of years has been in Colossians, where it says in chapter 1, we look at this son that God says, focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest. And it amplifies here in Colossians. We look at this son and see the God who cannot be seen. So everything about God. If you see Jesus, you will know things about God the Father also. Because He is the Son. We look at this son and see God's original purpose in everything created. So wherever people are out of harmony with Jesus Christ, who have not receive Jesus, they cannot come into their purpose. We yield to Jesus. And I'm not trying to be religious. Huh? I've got used to it originally. Do you know the four spiritual laws? And I was part of Campus Crusade. And then the Holy Ghost sat me and I said, well, God wants to save everybody. But if someone has an attitude there, I said, fine, thank you very much. Lord, whatever you're going to give them, give it to me. Because you're not going to use it, fine, I'm going to take it all. Whatever. Not that. I mean, God, there's plenty for everybody. But I met an old Assembly of God. I mean, he was like a patriarch. And every year I would go and minister at his church. And he told me the story that he would go visit. And he was a real assemblies guy. I mean, he was like a Baptist with the Holy Spirit. I mean, they wanted to get everybody saved. And he would go, and for about 2 years, there was a man who had severe sickness, and he would be in the hospital. He was dying. And he would go to him and said, you want to get saved? And the guy would cuss him out. One day, this wonderful assembly pastor said, all righty, you made up your mind. Go to hell, you reprobate. And I was a young pastor at this time when I was ministering in his place. And I just said, oh, Lord. Anyway. But, so that's why all of this, I'm kind of reacting to all the political correctness that out there saying, you're bigoted, you're intolerant, all that. I said, man, if you people want to choose to go to hell, I'll pray for them. And the gospel is there for you to be saved. But, you know, there's only certain time that the Lord will work on you. And then, anyway. But Jesus is our focus. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection praise. Jesus is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he is there towering far above everything and everywhere. And then it goes on, verse 20. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. People and things and animals and atoms. So people, things, animals, atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. All because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. There are vibrant harmonies. And God wants to get each of our lives in tune with his glory and his heavenly calling. And when we let the world infect us, we get out of harmony. We get infected by that. That's why it is imperative that now, as you see the dislocation and the craziness and the confusion and the violence out there, more than ever, we need to at least minimum once a week be there on Sunday morning in church, because even our atomic particles, it'll get out of whack. And you want to be in the community of God, worshiping, praising. What is happening? It's not that, God is in a rejection mode and every Sunday we've got to just tap it. It's going to be okay, you old man. No. He is the King of glory. It's in him that we come in harmony and our lives get sorted out. And as you get sorted out, your children are getting blessed. As you get sorted out and God starts singing that song over you, there are things happening with your children and grandchildren. There are going to be blessings flowing. So it is imperative that as the end of the age takes place, that we find ourselves often, if you're not on the road for his purposes, you want to be someplace where the Lord is being worshipped. I loved Darren's worship. I'll tell you, yeah. I get to go to many, many places, and my body starts vibrating as Darren and Eric, and I'll tell you, I bless you guys, because you have something that is full of glory. And I just said, I want more. I could just sit in that. So thank you guys. Darren, where are you? Wave your hand. And Jennifer, I'm so proud of you. And Eric, and all your faithfulness and your family. It's just wonderful, delightful to see you guys. I've seen you from way back when you were young. And now you're just like us, getting more good looking. And praise the Lord. Buy them nice Christmas presents, by the way. Amen. Because they have blessed you. Some of you guys. And whatever. You know, tell them what you want for Christmas. Not a little cheap tie. No, get them something good. They used to give me so many ties for Christmas. I don't now wear ties. I have been set free. Yeah, if you go to a Baptist, I went to 4 years of a Baptist school in Texas. It was Southern Baptist, conservative. That teach you in Baptist college, and by the fourth year, you go to bed in a 3-piece suit. I'm so glad the Holy Ghost came in my life. Otherwise, I was... what do you call it? You get, it's like the religious spirit can make you get more and more constipated. You know. You know Jesus? I know. Oh God. Anyway. I don't want to go there. All right. So, then we focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest. Now, it says, the apostle then speaks to us. Just a few thoughts on that. And then I'll talk about the high priest, that's all, this morning. It says, the apostolic then commission, as he's raised from the dead, he gives the church. And we need to be refreshed in this. And I'll tell you, some nations are taking this serious. The Koreans are dangerous people. They've taken this stuff. And I mean, whatever they have, you'll find Korean missionaries in Tanzania, in Kenya. And they were on sabbatical. They were on Korea. And so they came and said, bless me, I'm a missionary in Tanzania. So I come right from next door, Kenya. So I said to the Korean friend that up there, and I was praying for him. I said, okay. I said, do you know Swahili? He said, nope. I speak Korean. I said, you speak English? No. But God called me in Tanzania. I mean, he through the interpreter, he said. I said, what are you going to do in Tanzania? He said, I'm going to start a dojo. I'm going to teach taekwondo and then start a church. I said, good for you. I mean, he didn't even know the language, but he was on fire for God and wanted to reach souls.
Yes.
The same way for some of the places in Germany, they're sending out young servants of God all over. And I want to say, may we not lose our missionary zeal. So in that God gives us the apostolic command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel, the good news, to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes, does not believe, shall be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out evil spirits. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. Anyway, this is the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Preach good news to every creature. So these are, now that doesn't mean you have to go. But you are part of a purposeful community of faith that gives strength so that the gospel is being preached across the world. That you, with your tithes and offerings and your worship and support and all of that, that is God, through that, is energizing the gospel to be preached across the world. I had a friend named Silas Awidi. I used to say, well, someone reminded me of this story. I have not said this, shared this for many years. But anyway, he lives in Kenya, and that's where I came from. That's where I was born, even though my parents were Indian. So I was born in Africa. And now I'm an American citizen. So I'm African-American. But I look Indian. So I'm an American Indian also. And so I often said, some kind of government program should be available to me. And if I don't get it, I am going to open a casino. We are going to speak our own Indian language, Chandalabakashka. Anyway, so Silas Awidi, he was a serious apostle. He was an African. He was Kenya. And he goes, God zaps him, and he's going every village in Africa walking. He just used to walk for miles, preaching the gospel. And then one day, as he was walking through the bush in Kenya, Africa, he comes across a big group of baboons. That's monkeys. Hundreds of them. They come to, they have their own community. And they do, jumping around, biting each other, all of that. And as he's fascinated. Monkeys are fascinating. They do weird stuff. And I grew up around all of this stuff. Monkeys and lions and all of that. So Silas was telling the story, and as he watches all these hundreds of monkeys running around, the voice of the Lord comes to him and says, "Go into all the world, preach good news to every creature." I said, "Lord, is this you?" You stop for a moment. Again, the word came, "Go into all the world, preach good news to every creature." He said, "Lord, to monkeys?" But that's what the gospel is. Every creature. Good news to every creature. That's the translation he had. So he said, "Okay." He raised his hand and shouted out over the monkeys, "Listen to me!" They all stopped for a moment, looked at the African man, and he said, "You are all under a curse." They looked surprised. And he said to them, "But I have good news. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And he gave them the full package deal of preaching the gospel to them. And after a while, they just ignored him and started running around, biting each other, trying to pick the fruit. And so Silas says, "Oh, well, that was it." And he started walking away, and the Lord told him, "You didn't finish." He said, "I gave everything." "So, you didn't give the invitation." He said, "Lord, is this you?" So he went, came back, and "If you want the curse to be broken and receive good news and be blessed, come and stand before me right now." And the monkeys ignored him. Suddenly he heard a rustling in the bushes, and a whole bunch of African women came and lined up, because they had been hiding from a stranger walking through the bush. And they heard the whole gospel, and all the village women came up, lined up, and received the Lord. And there was revival in that place. So sometimes, Bill, I just want to encourage you and others here, that you may sometimes think that you are preaching to monkeys, but there are people listening. Anyway, the Lord has given us the Great Commission. And he says, "And you shall cast out evil spirits, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover." I was telling in Germany, this is where Bonnie was telling, sitting with me and talking about what happened at Sorcerer. And some of it, she was there and saw it. And in one of the cities, there were, one city was Mujimai, the other was Kananga. And in the chief sorcerer of that area saw several thousand coming to the Lord. And it affects his business of sorcery, because they won't come and give him money and put curses on people because they are saved. So he came to curse me. And I was, on certain mornings, I would lay hands on everybody. And so there were 5,000 people lined up. This is in the Congo, way in the interior, where last night I told you, a lot of foreigners. Most foreigners could not go in because of the prime minister and the generals getting saved. They gave me an internal passport, me and Bonnie. So the sorcerer wanted to put a curse on me. So I was laying hands, "Bless him, Lord, bless him, bless him." And then eventually I came to the sorcerer, and he was a tall, big man. And his eyes rolled up, could only see the whites of his eyes. And he started saying something, but animal voices came out of him. And it was weird. My hair stood on end. And it would change from male to female, animal. And I had clear discernment. I said, this man's got problems.